Hi, I'm Ashley Nichols.
And I'm Shamara Arkey.
And I am Casey Boyd Swan.
We're podcasting from Northeast Ohio. This is the Growing Democracy Podcast, a space to amplify multiple forms of knowledge, demystify politics, policy, and governance, and foster equity-centered civic engagement.
Each episode, we invite a guest or two to talk about what it means to be civically engaged, how engagement can be leveraged to dismantle systems of oppression, and how to grow a socially just and equitable democracy.
Welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
So this episode is in some ways a relaunch, a kind of new revised Growing Democracy podcast, and wanted to do I think we're calling it episode 200, to talk a little bit about why did we decide to kind of update, enrich, enhance, change?
Because our numbering system was weird.
Right? Who knows what we were doing in the past?
We can blame it on the pandemic. It's a really good question, though. We had so many different series, and I think that some people got confused about, is this a season? Is this a series? What does this mean? But it was really just that we kind of thought of this, I think, in much too much of a teacher-instructor kind of way, where we had, like, themes we were trying to stick to. But
they're modules. I don't know what you're talking about. I have lesson plan modules, and they're themes that came in.
But really, there's an overarching umbrella that connects everything. So why not relaunch? And we have now a third permanent co-host. Don't be hiding back there.
Hey y'all.
So, Shamara, why did you agree to hang out with us on the podcast?
The real reason is because when I recorded the original episode, I was really comfortable. And I felt really comfortable being myself. And I felt like the space that you both had curated was safe, intellectually safe for us to come and have these conversations around these things that often create conflict. Mm-hmm. But being able to have conversation, to agree and to disagree, and then to end and be like, okay, I'll see you later. And then the next time that we were in community, it was not contentious. Yeah. So I believe that's the real reason, right? Mm-hmm. In addition to it being fun and me liking to talk about things like this all the time. But the space that you all had created was safe for someone like me who wasn't fully in academia at that time, someone who was in community, you had a foot in both worlds, if you will. And really intentionally speaking back to systems and institutions. So I was excited when I was asked to join forever. No.
Yeah, so maybe it's worth kind of backing up and saying kind of what that history was, right? So brought Dr. Arkey on as a guest on the podcast. I want to say in 2000, maybe in 2021. I can't remember the timeline. And then in spring of 2021, we had an opportunity to collaborate for a funded kind of special series on race and democracy in Northeast Ohio. And Casey and I knew that you would make a huge contribution to this work, and not just to bring you in because we were talking about race, but because you had been on the podcast, because this is an area of expertise, because you live in community or you are in community. One of the things that on the flip side, you said we created the space that felt welcoming. I also think that all of the contributions you made over the last year to 2 years have really shaped us, right? Or me, I'll speak for myself, have shaped my kind of approach to this work and shaped how I think about things. And so it felt like such a great way of continuing to grow together, and then, you know, making it official. Like, like you're not just part of a series that we were funded to do, but making it part of and actively kind of involved in every aspect, the boring nitty gritty budgeting stuff to kind of the big picture thinking stuff of what we do with the Growing Democracy Project and the podcast.
So, I mean, that's what I love so much about having Dr. Arkey on here is that she, like, the whole podcast is about trying to unpack stuff, but Shamara, you unpack things in ways that, like, I forgot because I packed it away so long ago that it's like, oh yeah, no, that's a really good, I didn't even thought, it was invisible to me that it was something that needed to be unpacked. So I just think that having you on the show brings a depth and kind of a third dimension to it that was missing. It completes our space.
Oh, thank you. And I want to say this too, and let the record show that, you know, I don't feel tokenized in this space. Lots of places I do. You know, they want you to show up because you're the Black person. Mm-hmm. You're the person that's going to say the things that, you know, need to be said. You're the person that's not affiliated with the institution, so to speak, on behalf of community. You're the person from Africana Studies. You know, we're looking to you to tell us, you know, how all folks in the diaspora should react. And I don't feel that in this space. And that has to do with you all, right? In the renewal, as I was saying earlier, yeah, we have an episode, we have a conversation, we have a budget chat. And you know, that's done. And when we are showing up again, we're showing up renewed and ready to move forward. And that's so important in this work. And even in the time trajectory that you were talking about, Ashley. So I believe that, was it during the pandemic? It might have been like maybe when the pandemic first hit, yeah, that I was invited as a guest on the show. And so, you know, lots of people had this, oh, well, you know, now that, you know, it's all over the TV, let's do something. Let's change our mission statement. And I don't feel like that. Well, I know that was never a conversation that we had in any of our planning meetings, because it wasn't to say that we have to change this outward facing thing. Like, let's talk about it. It was just like, let's do it. This mm-hmm. is what we're doing. Like, we don't have to talk about it. We know what to do. So I really, really appreciate that. And then, you know, just kind of giving me the space to, you know, do my thing. Right. So we did a film festival. Like, I've never planned a film festival before, but being a creative and working with creatives in the community is something that I've always wanted to do. So to be able to do that in community, test it on, try it out. And I think we were very successful as a team. Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. So just really appreciative of this teaching and learning space that we have here. Is an excellent way to model also to the folks who join us in conversation and community around what this work could look like mm-hmm. when we're well-intentioned and not afraid to do things differently than they've ever been done before.
Right, right. So now we did have two, as you mentioned, two in-person events last year. One of them, the biggest one being the film event. What do we have planned this year?
Well,
so this year,
go ahead. You should take it.
This year, in partnership with, again, the Center for Pan-African Culture and the Umbaji Art Gallery, we are hosting a photo voice project. So this is open to all members of our community, on campus, off campus, student, faculty, staff, family, friend, comrade, you name it. Anyone can submit to be a part of this. We're asking for folks to submit photos of what does race and democracy look like to you. Really, really broad, because we want to, in our final exhibition, display what that looks like to a little bit of everybody in Northeast Ohio. So photo voice submissions are open until November the 15th. You can go on our website, find that information. We will choose the top 10 photos from all of those submitted. There is a selection committee, which includes us and some students that we've been working with over the years. And they will be a part of a specific installation that I'll be co-curating in the Mbaji Gallery here at Kent State University. So calling, you know, artists, creatives, established, budding, however you're identifying, students, we invite you to join us.
I love awesome. It. I'm excited.
I'm super excited about this. This is, if I'm remembering my notes correctly, the Photo Voice Project actually emerged from a conversation that the three of us were having, and then Dr. Anuj Gurung was there as well. And Anuj was like, I think a Photo Voice Project could complement the film series really effectively and kind of build on this kind of community engaged work that we're kind of envisioning for the Growing Democracy Project. Is my memory serving me correctly?
I remember that it was around the film festival, and I honestly can't remember who it was that suggested it. I just remember saying, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. Mostly because I feel like everybody has a camera on them now with their phone. So who wouldn't want to participate in that? Like, I can't draw, but I could take a photo.
Right. And really, like, just thinking about the intersection of the arts and amplification and the different mechanisms and tactics and ways that people can engage and help to shape these conversations, I think was part of the conversation. I hope I'm remembering.
And I remembered that it was in relation to Shooting Without Bullets, which was the first film that we screened.
Yep.
That the, you know, what those kids, can you call them kids? They're not really kids, they're adults now.
Yeah, they is good and grown these days.
But what they had created was just so remarkable. And, you know, as someone who is not very artistic, I was really blown away by the work that was done there.
In the early days of Shooting Without Bullets, it was really focused on still photographs. You know, now they're digital media production. Right. So they've definitely expanded in the last 5 years, but really focusing on that and understanding where we are in our trajectory. And I mean, we like as a community, right? In how we're communicating. One thing that is happening right now is situating this podcast as a new literacy. Mm-hmm. This is a space where we can come together and pontificate, you know, with the best of them.
Right.
So how can we understand that this is a way in which we are able to code and decode the world and share? You know, it's not a journal article, as the Academy tells us is, you know, the most important way that we are to disseminate information. But the people who we often are writing about or conducting research on doesn't even have access to those journals.
Mm-hmm.
But with a podcast, you know, you open access to lots of different people at various intersections, making it accessible. But then also there's a point where, you know, we want to go live with these podcasts to create that dialogue in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So really understanding the power of the medium in which we're communicating in and being able to align the conversation, the discussion, the teaching and learning that's happening here is just as effective, if not more. We haven't done all the data yet, right? Then, you know, taking this and putting it into a journal article.
And can I also add that, you know, this is one of the ways that you have shaped the work, even outside of being a host on the podcast, right? So introduce you as a host on a guest host on the podcast, now introducing you as a host on the podcast, but also shaping kind of the broader project, the Growing Democracy Project, and that challenging us to me. I don't know why I keep speaking for both of us, but challenging me as an academic who has always thought of this work as community engaged work, but seeing it as community engaged scholarship, right? That this is not just some service that I can like tick off because it brings me joy, to be able to create spaces like this and to be in community with people in ways like the podcast allows, but to see it as a contribution to our scholarship and to knowledge creation. And I think you've really challenged me in particular to reframe how I approach this work. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. We're a team.
So keep an eye out for conference proposals. All of that fun stuff. So we've talked a little bit about where we're at, where we're going, and, you know, why all these changes are taking place. You know, what to wrap this up to both Casey and Shamara, where do you hope the podcast goes from here?
Well, I'm selfish, so I hope that, you know, we get to keep meeting these kind of extraordinary people that are, or maybe they're ordinary people just doing extraordinary things. But, you know me, I'm nosy, so I like to talk to people and just find out, what are you doing? What are you about? Tell me everything about your life. And it's just, for me, a fantastic opportunity to, without going anywhere, learning so much about the world that I didn't know. And I hope, you know, kind of provide a setting and a space for others to do the same, who you know, aren't in a position to personally meet people doing cool things. So that's what I hope we get an opportunity to keep doing.
Yeah, I mean, with that, to continue, you know, bringing people together across lines of difference, having more nuanced conversations. I'd really like to be intentional about following up with past guests and see what they're doing that's new, fun, and exciting. I'd like to learn how our past guests are working together. I think that's really, really cool. So whether they met through us or not, not necessarily measuring that, but just to see the alignment that's happening in community, I'm looking forward to more of that.
I appreciate that. And, you know, from our perspective, sometimes we can see those threads and we see the network of overlapping interests and ideas and communities. But, you know, being able to kind of build on that and make it explicit and honor it on the podcast. And, you know, and for me, go ahead.
Yeah, I would also like, I think it would be really cool if we could hear from some of our listeners about like what they've changed or done as a result of, you know, listening to this podcast. Have they changed how they interact in their communities, right? Maybe they started volunteering, you know, at a community organization because they didn't know it was a thing and then they heard something. So I think that would be really cool to do follow up with our guests, but also follow up with our listeners. Like how has, you know, listening to this kind of offered up a new experience for you to change something.
Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think, one of the comments we received from a listener, was that we approach democracy from as an act. We see democracy as an action. It is a way of being in community. And so for me, I think, you know, continuing to have those conversations that center democracy around the lived experiences of how people engage with the world around them. Those engagements that bring them joy and those engagements that seek to, you know, create more equitable systems, whatever it might be, right? That we continue to kind of center, and of course, this is coming from my own worldview and my own idea about, you know, democracy, but, you know, how we demonstrate through our conversations and the way that we structure the podcast that democracy is an act. and in order to foster democracy or grow democracy, like the podcast is named, we need to seek social justice. We need to seek equitable community engagement. We need to understand politics and governance. And so for me, it's really exciting to continue those conversations with y'all and with everyone throughout Northeast Ohio and abroad, right? I suppose we've had many episodes that are not just Northeast Ohio, but are talking and speaking to many of the issues people are experiencing in Northeast Ohio. So,
Ashley, before we go, do we want to preview the next three episodes?
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and do that. So I can speak to the first episode that will come out. As we mentioned, they're going to be numbered in the 200s now. Kind of the last 2 years will be in the 100s. we have a two-part series, 201, part one and part two, on Two Shakers. Really talking about suburban histories and contemporary experiences, and using Shaker Heights, Ohio, as kind of a context or a geography in which some of these histories and contemporary experiences of oppression as they manifest through education and housing and policing manifest in a place like Shaker that espouses a social justice, racial equity promotion.
I don't know how to say it. Definitely, that's it. And I think that for our listeners that are familiar with the history of Shaker Heights, y'all know what we're getting at. Mm-hmm. For folks who are not, there's a book, yes, by Celeste Ng called Little Fires Everywhere, and they actually made a Netflix series about it too. So this is public information that anyone can access. You know, I like that. But then also to really trouble the conversation, right? We're hearing this one perspective that's coming out. And now with Celeste's work, we're hearing this other perspective. And so on part one and part two, we actually hear a few more perspectives, right? Folks' lived experience, folks who are routinely called to represent the city, and then folks who are never called to represent the city. So it's really interesting. And as we talk about this intersection of, you know, race, democracy, place and space, all these intersections, to really think critically around suburban histories, mm-hmm, and contemporary experiences.
Yeah. So, and then the next episode is hosted by Casey and Shamara. So I'll let you two kind of promo that episode.
So 202? Episode 202, I was referring to it as Cleveland in the Classroom, but I think that's their tagline, is infusing Cleveland into the classroom, where it was kind of presented as, you know, teaching the history of Cleveland in a way that more equitably displays prominent players. Is that fair to say that, Shamara?
Yeah, I would say like historically prominent, right, players.
That aren't just old dead white guys.
Correct. And even with that conversation, so thinking about the historical aspect, but there's no way that we can talk about the historical aspect without the sociopolitical context. Mm-hmm. That happened in history for those particular folks. And then today, you know, We had to talk about, if we're talking about teaching history, we got to talk about who's teaching it, right, and yeah, how they're teaching it and where they're teaching it at. Mm-hmm. So, really, we are embarking on these conversations to, I was in a space with Dr. Angela Y. Davis last week, and her interviewer asked her a question, and she said, well, we have to trouble the question a little bit. So I believe that we are in this space where we're troubling the question, right? We're troubling the topic by really looking at it from an intersectional perspective.
Yeah.
Right. And then the last upcoming, we have many more coming down the road, but the next one that is planned, recorded and getting ready to drop, is hosted by me and Casey on, and I think we're calling it the People's Budget, because Michelle B. Jackson, one of the guests of the podcast, specifically says that she really likes the term the People's Budget. And talking about kind of these mechanisms of inclusive and empowered governing spaces, like what are the structures look like, and specifically investigating kind of the promise and the challenges of participatory budgeting, specifically in Cleveland.
Right. Yeah. So maybe a nerdy episode talking about budgets, but I promise there's no spreadsheets that we reference, no Excel you have to look at. Really just a discussion of how budgeting decisions get made in a framework where those who are historically and typically excluded from the process do get to have, in fact, some control over it. And what that has looked like in the setting of Cleveland. And we do give a bit of an intro talking about participatory budgeting at large and the efficacy and value of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, those are what you can expect kind of with the relaunch, renewed. I don't know. What are we calling it?
Renewal. Yeah, sure.
The next season.
Season two.
The podcast. And so we look forward to, you know, continuing these conversations.
Thanks for listening to the Growing Democracy podcast. Our podcast is edited by Jeremy Demery at Golden Ox Studio, right here in Cleveland, Ohio. This podcast is supported by the Center for Pan-African Culture and the School of Peace and Conflict Studies at Kent State University, with additional support from Mark Lewine and the John Gray Painter Program. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website, growingdemocracyoh.org. If you want to support the podcast, as well as get access to behind-the-scenes content, live chat, and swag featuring designs by Donuts and Coffee, head over to patreon.com/growingdemocracyoh. Join us next time when we continue this conversation around growing democracy.